Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider for the January issue of Firehouse. I am Elizabeth Narulis, Managing Editor, and we'll be talking with Dr. Richard Gassaway about his Chief Concerns article, Firefighting, It's a Whole New Ball Game, which appears in the January issue of the magazine. Dr. Gassaway, would like to ask you a few questions about this article. You relate the positions on the fire ground to that on a baseball field. Tell us a little bit about that theory.
Well, Liz, where this came about was in my travels and discussions with fire chiefs, union leaders. I sense a real level of frustration with the cuts that they're facing, and the elected officials or their city managers saying, well, you're just going to have to find a way to do more with less. And you know, they're frustrated with that because they're struggling with, well, how do we help them understand that it gets to a point where we just can't do more with less. And I was actually at a Minnesota Twins game when the idea came to me, the inspiration for this article of doing more with less. As I looked out on the field and saw nine players, and this was on my mind, I thought, well, how could a baseball team do more with less? Could they play the game with eight players instead of nine? You know, it became incredibly clear to me at that point, to the point where I took my program and started writing notes on my program.
Oh, wow.
of how significant a baseball team would be impacted if they had to cut player positions. How could they get the job done? And the fact is that, you know, there is, the article will say, there are some positions that can be cut, but not positions on the field where there can be some savings without impacting you know, the core product, which in that case is baseball. But if you get to the point where you start cutting players off the field, it's going to have a tremendous impact. You know, and as I looked at the field, I thought, well, what players could be eliminated? And it became pretty evident to me that every position was critical to the outcome of the team, you know, trying to win. So, you know, the motivation behind this was this comparison that a baseball team who cuts core positions will suffer the same frustrations and in this case they're losing a game, so it doesn't have quite the same impact. But they'd suffer loss just like fire departments that get to the point where they have to lose core positions. And the reason that the purpose of the article is perhaps to help fire service folks make that connection with their city managers and their elected officials, you know, and engage in a dialogue to say, okay, let's imagine for a moment we're a baseball team instead of a fire department. And now instead of having nine players on the field, we only get to have eight players on the field. Can you imagine the impact that this would have on the success of a baseball team? Now let's talk about the impact that's going to have on our success as a fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes you know, pretty evident that there's going to be a big impact.
And you're dealing with life safety of both the firefighters and the citizens. So that's obviously, by comparison, is a much bigger issue.
Absolutely. And I say in the article, I don't want to downplay the comparison
right.
between baseball and firefighting, because, you know, one's a game and the other one is anything but a game. It's real life. But the analogy helps certainly to bring the point home. You know, a baseball team plays with eight players and loses a game, you know, so what? They come out and play the next week. A fire department, you know, loses civilian lives or loses a firefighter's life as a result of being short-staffed, then there's no game about it. That's as serious as it gets in our business.
And are there positions that can be eliminated without jeopardizing the safety?
Well, as I said in the article, Liz, that in good times, fire departments, I think all city services, government services, try to find a way to improve what they do. Those improvements might mean the addition of new programs. Those new programs might mean the addition of staff. And I think that happens when we're in our lucrative times financially. But when things tighten up and we have to then look at making reductions, then those are positions and programs that are probably first to be looked at, is those that don't impact the core service. The core service is, the serving the customer on the street in the emergency mode. A medical call, a fire call, hazmat, car wreck, whatever, in the emergency mode. And other positions and programs, while the department may be very passionate about them and maybe even believe that those programs tie into core services, may create some opportunities for streamlining or being more efficient. For example, partnering with a neighboring community to provide a service that is provided among two communities, the staff then provides that service for both communities. Public education is one that comes to mind where there might be an opportunity to partner. But
right.
The positions where firefighter safety is not adversely impacted are probably the first place to look. Oh, again, I fully acknowledge it won't be enjoyable to look at making cuts anywhere in what we do. But if you're looking at it from purely from the perspective of trying to ensure the safety of firefighters, then you have to identify those positions core to the success of that mission. Just like in a baseball team, what's core to the success of winning a baseball game? 9 players on the field. It's not the concession workers. It's not the people selling the programs or the people selling the hot dogs or the people working, parking. Core to winning a game is 9 players on the field. And the other positions then are subject to cutback, not without any consequence. I mean, they all have consequence if they're cut back, but hopefully those consequences are not directly related to the firefighter safety.
And at what point do you think the fire department should say, we can't do this, and begin reducing some of those services?
Well, if a fire department's budget's been reduced to the point where they say, we can't thin things out anymore, there's maybe some opportunities to be more efficient in operations, and I think that the low-hanging fruit for those options in many places have already been picked because of cuts that have happened in previous years leading up to where we are now. So there may not be very many of those opportunities left. But I would really challenge departments to look at their operations and say, is there a way for us to be more efficient and more effective with the resources we have, or with partnering with neighboring organizations, or partnering with other departments within our city, or partnering with a private entity to ensure that we can do what we do with using sharing resources. But at some point, a department might say, we can't do this. There's just no way for us to continue providing the same level of service with the same dollars. And when that time comes, and I think it's there for some departments, as I've talked with people, I think they have to first prioritize, what's the core service, and then what are the non-core services, and then prioritize the non-core services and try to reduce or eliminate those, ensuring that the core services are maintained. Now, one of the main points of my article is at some point you might get to where you have to cut into the core services. You know, you've made every other possible cut you can. The next thing is laying off street level firefighters and reducing companies or closing stations or browning out stations. And that's where I think that there is a tremendous obligation among the leaders of the fire departments who are in that position to have meaningful discussions with their command staff and their company officers about what does this mean for us. We cannot have it be business as usual. A baseball team that goes from 9 players to 8 can't function on the field business as usual, or they're going to lose.
Right.
They have to adjust. They have to come up with a new and different strategy about how to play the game. And that's my challenge for the fire departments. Liz, I'm so concerned because as I hear people say, "Well, we're closing companies, and it's you know, we lost the engine or we lost the ladder. Instead of having 2 ladders, we now only have 1. Instead of 3 engines coming, we now only have 2. And our response times are longer." And I ask these folks, what kind of meaningful discussions have you had at the command level or even at the company level about how to adjust the services you provide to ensure the safety of your firefighters? And I'm continually hearing none. We've had no discussion.
Oh, wow.
We've had no change in our strategy, no change in our plan. In fact, we fight the fires. It's almost like we're in denial. We fight the fires just like we always have. But with less people, and to me that is such a recipe for an impending disaster. You know, it's kind of like the baseball player coach saying, "Oh, I realize we only have 8 players, but we're going to play this game just like we always have, and live in denial that we're not going to have you know, a shortstop or a center fielder, and just go out there and do it like you always have." It's almost like the handwriting is on the walls what the outcome is going to be. You know, versus the coach who sits the team down and says, "Look, we don't have 9 players now, we have 8. So here, let's talk about, and before we ever get on the field for the game, how we're going to adjust what we do and how we do it, and realize that, you know, everyone may have to shift, take on different responsibilities, cover a bigger area. Some bad potential consequences can happen, and we want to be ahead of those and discuss what we're going to do when these things occur and how we're going to react to them, and all in the focus of how do we keep our firefighters safe." Many of these organizations have not had these discussions, and it scares me. And I know the firefighters that I'm talking to are scared because they know they can't do the same amount of work as they did when they had more personnel either responding to or already at the scene, and they don't know what to do, and they're afraid, and they want to have a plan. They want to go home. And,
right.
And this is my call to action in this article, is have these discussions and figure out in advance what you're going to do so that we're ahead of the curve in trying to keep firefighters safe.
Yes, because that is the main purpose, that everybody goes home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can find Dr. Gassaway's article on page 71 of the January issue of Firehouse Magazine. Look for links to this article and the entire issue of the magazine on the podcast player page. Thank you again, Dr. Gassaway, for speaking with us today. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Liz, for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
The best way to learn a new skill or improve upon one you already have is to actually put it into practice. Choose from 6 hands-on training classes at Firehouse World 2011 in San Diego this coming February. Classes include trench rescue, firefighter survival, air management, extrication, and more. Learn by doing. Complete details available at firehouseworld.com.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.